Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, September the 26th, 270th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County First District Supervisor, Giants fan. Yeah, they made it. Rex Bone.
Go Giants.
Yeah.
Brian, how are you doing? Yeah, it's been kind of fun watching them just and they just keep getting stronger. And Zito's doing well, and Lensa comes healthy, and looks like so.
And you got a couple other guys with their heads squared on straight, possibly. Possibly. We'll find out. After the end of regular season next week.
There you go.
So afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about, well, Rex brought in the general plan. And this is, I commented to Aaron when I came into the booth, this is the most anybody has ever brought in anything in 30 years of this show. Rex does it, his second show. There are the equivalent of 3-4-inch binders full of things calling themselves general plan. So we'll talk a little bit about that, where he is in the process, some of the other things that are going on, perhaps might be a little elucidating also. That's my fancy word for the day. We'll talk about it more when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from, oh boy, you ready for a German?
Bone.
Georg Christoph Lichtenberg. All right? To do just the opposite is also a form of imitation. I could say imitation. I almost wanted to say intimidation.
Intimidation.
Yeah, it probably works either way. So we've got this thing sitting here on the desktop or countertop that is, I would suggest overwhelming would be a good phrase to use, because I think a lot of folks perceive that while the general plan is something of an awful lot of discussion, it's not your exclusive job description at this point, working with the general plan. How much time are you able to devote, Rex, to grasping, understanding, monitoring, meeting, working with the general plan out of your work week?
Well, you know, I appreciate the planning buildings, especially the planning staff, because I've been meeting with them a few times, specifically Martha Spencer, getting some of these explanations and seeing where we got to this point. And then a lot of the meetings are archived, so I can follow along in that. And I actually went to quite a few meetings over the years, you know, not, you know, maybe 10% of them, just off and on, just because it was interesting. And, you know, it's a pretty imposing document, but what it does is pretty imposing. I mean, this is our blueprint for the next 20 years of what we're going to do in Humboldt County.
It's my understanding, and I'll say my limited understanding and play it that way, is that this is supposed to be the skeleton framework. As a budget evolves and fluctuates and grows and ebbs and flows, so too a general plan. That's why we have the amendment process. So how detailed does this sucker need to be in order to still be a viable document?
Well, and I think that's what we're working through, and it's great that Supervisor Sundberg has brought it up, is so staff can give us the framework and then comparisons of what's being added and why it's being added. Because just like anything else, we have to make sure it works best for all the citizens. We have to make sure it works best for the environment. And we also have to make sure that it doesn't get to the point where it's undefensible in court, or unaffordable for the homeowner that wants to use it, or in worst case scenario, unaffordable for the builder that wants to build affordable housing.
Now, there's a lot of discussion at this point what the cost of regulation is in a house. You just use a house rather than a business structure. I've heard 20, 25%, 30, 35%. When you get workers' comp, you get all the insurances, you get the regulatory costs of getting the plans processed through, compliance of all that, there's a huge percentage of that price that's already being carried by the homeowner of a new construction versus an old construction. Is there any sense, do you have any, either from the building department folks or from the private sector developers that you are in contact with, what the carrying capacity is of the marketplace?
Well, and that's what we're trying to get, because we're trying to file this down. There's in what is needed is going to be somewhat to the point, what do they expect the cost to be? And that's going to be a valuable tool, because, I mean, when it comes to protecting the environment, it's there is no limit. That's what we need to do. But we need to be realistic. We don't need to plan for things
within
that aren't
reason.
Happen. Within reason, yeah. We could put everything in a bubble, too, but we have to be within reason. And I refer to a lot of guys that build one or two homes that have been very involved in the, you know, in the process. I mean, you know, the other day in public comment, I mean, there was a lot of support for taking looks, you know, making sure we're getting everything right, you know, not pushing it, you know, and making sure we get right. I think the most compelling argument for me and listen to it was John Winsler got up. And John Winsler's been doing this kind of thing for 60 years. He said he had spent 200 hours reading it, and it's I think his words were incomprehensible and unattainable. And he's done a lot, you know, he's pretty well known in the community. He's been doing it a long time.
Well, and he's familiar with this language also.
He's been involved with the general plan since day one, because that's what their job is, to get projects through. And that kind of brought my eyes open, because he's not a big developer. I mean, he's, you know, I went to school with his sons, and he's, you know, and now I think he's, you know, he's, I think the business has been sold. I think he's still, you know.
He's just a concerned citizen.
Yeah,
at this point.
And he came out and he said this, and that opened my eyes up. And I had a short talk with him.
Was there a reaction from anybody else on the board when John made those comments?
I'm not sure, because I was kind of
you were a little dumbfounded yourself.
Well, I was looking at John. I was looking at John, because I mean he earns a certain amount of respect for what he has done in this community for so long, and his knowledge of the community. I mean, he's got a great knowledge of the community. So that part was interesting for me. But talking to I know we use the buzzwords, big developers and big land builders and realtors, and there are some of those around. But I mean, Alan Bongio, he's on the community services district out in Cutton, got a couple, raising a nice family, been a friend of mine forever, builds a couple houses a year. He says he might be having trouble, the same thing, supporting the cost of a lot with this plan the way it sits.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, before the break, you were talking a little bit about you were using one developer, particularly a professional contractor, who doesn't build on a huge scale. More one and move on to the next, move on to the next, move on to the next, kind of a boutique-y, if you will.
Well,
and Alan was having a tough time with this thing, too, from his perspective. If you've got a lot of folks who are going, I can't, it doesn't make sense, what have we been doing for 12 or 14 years?
Well, the last 4 years, we haven't been doing much. But, I mean, you take a look at, you know, I always think of big developers like Toll Brothers and these guys that are building. I mean, I asked Alan.
The guys in Ghilarducci?
Build the big houses.
You've got big water trucks all over the North Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
Part South. Yeah, it's big.
But you take, like Alan, I think he's built 47 houses in 26 years. Not a lot of, I mean, you know, one at a time. And he's built a couple nice, small little, like you say, I guess boutique subdivisions, nice little areas. I live right by one. And he does a nice job. But, I mean, those are the people you want that are going to have to plan on dealing with this when it's done. You know, so I want to make sure, you know, and it just has to work for everybody. And it just seems to be that... all of a sudden, you know, a lot of the comments at the meeting the other day were people that were involved at the beginning and just felt that they weren't being heard. They put their input, and then when it got to the Planning Commission, they felt their input wasn't there. So they just kind of got tired, they said, of going. And we heard that quite a few times. So
was it the Planning Commission who then didn't listen to them, or was it the compilation of their reports that staff had compiled that didn't include their references?
You know, I'm not sure. And it may be a balancing act there and everything else, but there were people that felt that they had been left out. And they're long-term citizens. They've been around for a long, long time. And now they want to be heard. And I don't know if it's the change on the board that maybe feels that they'll be heard a little bit more. As you know, as stated earlier, this just got to the board here a few months ago, and lucky me, I got to be right in the middle of it.
Do you sense that there are pressures to slam this thing through, to get this thing through before Christmas?
I think everybody just wants, it's a product that's been out there and they really do want to get it done. I mean, you know, and I like that attitude. I don't like delays. I like to get it done. But it still has to be defensible and it still has to be a workable document for everybody. And I can't honestly say we're at that yet. So, you know, I look forward to what staff's going to bring forward. I appreciate staff. I think Ryan made some great suggestions, and there's been some back and forth, and I think they're going to bring a product that we're going to be able to, you know, actually comprehend, you know, put it all together in one package rather than search through three of these binders trying to, you know, everything. Because I can tell you what, I've pretty much read a lot of these binders, and it's hard correlating to, and especially if you, just like you said, better part of my life I was a truck driver, so I mean, you know, this is a pretty good document to digest, and then it's got a whole set of new nuances that I haven't dealt with before.
Well, that's the thing, and I suppose that the challenge is there is those nuances, you know, not necessarily how is something to determined or defined, but you got the moving landscape of the legal elements of this thing. You've got whatever the state through the legislative processes are pushing. You've got the various special interest groups for, against, this, that, whatever it might happen to be that are pushing. You've got public input. You've got the Planning Commission, and then now you've got the board. Everybody coming from different perspectives. My sense is it's pretty Pollyannish to try to get everybody to agree that this thing is the right document, because you can't, you know. So it's all for me. If I was an elected, I'd be saying, "Let's get everybody really mad about it," and that means we're probably right in the middle, and everybody's kind of hacked off, and go from there and work with this thing rather than try to cast it in concrete and say it now is done. How much longer?
We're not there yet. I don't know. Till we actually see this next set of documents and then sit down and start working on it and moving forward and taking some more input. You know, you hear people that the Section 1500, the Citizens Advisory Committees, they would have liked to see more of that. There was a lot of things brought up the other day, and as I looked through my notes on some of the things that were said, and then there's some that just say, you know, I've heard, let's just go ahead and pass this, and then we'll work through it.
Close your eyes, do it,
you know, and then we'll. Yeah. Boy, that sounds expensive.
Well, is it bulletproof from the legal perspective? Is it bulletproof? I would think that has to be.
I don't know if anything's bulletproof anymore.
Well,
I mean, you know.
Okay,
but we have to make it, as you know, we've got to run this through council, county council, make sure it is as bulletproof as possible.
Has it been yet?
No. I mean, this is, you know, it's been worded back and forth, but no. I mean, county council has certainly looked at it, but do they have all the answers? No, I don't think.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health.
The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County First District Supervisor Rex Bone. Rex, the various special interest groups, I think, to my perspective, special interest groups get a bad rap. Everybody is a special interest group. You know, I'm not a special, I think everybody should pay fair taxes. Okay, you want a home, you want a home deduction? Of course! Okay, tuition relief? You betcha! Okay, and all of a sudden now I'm a special interest, but you know, there's this prototype of special interest that would be the other guy getting some unfair advantage. Who are the various special interest groups who really have weighed in, taken the time, done the research, made suggestions, good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't matter, but who have vested of their time into this document?
Oh, there's a myriad of acronyms on that. I think there's, I guess I should try alphabetically, but I don't even think that one would work. But I know there's Baykeepers. There's HELP. There's Healthy Humboldt. There's the Humboldt Watershed Council. There's HAR, the Humboldt Association of Realtors, the Humboldt Land Working Group, the Forest Resource Commission.
I've got many others.
We've got a lot of stuff.
Chambers of Commerce?
Not as much. There's been input through the meetings and stuff like that, but I mean, not as much. Not as much, because most of those are, you know, the businesses come straight and, you know, like that group. And
what about,
you know,
the cities and the special districts? Have they had a voice in this also? Because, you know, like I know where the city limit is for Eureka and Arcata and Fortuna and the various other jurisdictions. There are impacts in those communities based on what this could allow across the street.
Well, and as this goes, you know, McKinleyville has a general plan, Eureka, Arcata. All the municipalities, incorporated and unincorporated areas, have their own general working footprints, plans, and stuff like that that are going to be incorporated in with this, that has to be, you know, make them aware of, you know, so they kind of, there's so many elements. All these elements have to, at the end of the day, water has to run through all of them. So you can't put a 180 where it's going to clog up, where it's going to be higher than the flow point. So it all has to flow, so they all intertwine. You can't have one conflicting another element. So that's another big part of it.
You know, it's always associated with flowing water downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, it all runs.
It's really
downhill.
Tough not to make that connection to this. Is there any segment of the community that you feel has not had adequate opportunity to step up?
You know, I really, sometimes I think the common citizen, because most of us live our lives around our 90 by 110 and making sure the kids get to school or making sure the house payment's made and things like that. And so they read the headlines, they hear all this and stuff like that. But it seems, and they're hopefully one of the special interest groups, whatever is representing them to the effect of that they need an effective. But it is absolutely amazing. I probably hit 3,000 doors during a year ago and, you know, the previous, you know, before June and stuff like that. And it was amazing how little the general plan was brought up. It is the footprint that's going to guide everything. It's going to guide business. And that's the big thing. It's just not where you can build a house. It's what we're going to have to do for business. It's going to create business and create areas. So those are the kind of things. And, you know, the other thing is there's a lot of people. I represent a lot of rural areas. And there's a lot of people that like living out there. And you know, they want, but they're also back to landers. They're very environmentally correct. I mean, extremely environmentally correct. And every time I get out in those areas, it just amazes me how concerned they are. But they're also worried about their rights to live on their land. And, you know, if they weren't, we wouldn't be having the shaded parcel issue. We wouldn't be having the amnesty program for owner builds. And it's nice that we're trying to work. And again, I have to take my hat off to staff for trying to work through these problems. It's too bad it didn't get worked on sooner. But in hindsight, you can't say that. But you have to, at least we're trying to get some answers for these people so they can, you know, realize they have something in retirement, something to leave, a legacy land or whatever the case may be. So I think that's something we're charged to do. I mean, it's still people's most, you know, it's still their biggest. It's still their biggest investment, and, you know, and they need to make sure that it is their possession.
So how does the regular guy or gal know that they have been included in the process somewhere? Is it just faith, hope, and charity? Or can they, is there an overview? Is there a summation document? Is there 10 pages in general terms that explain what this document is or the changes that this document would put into effect if it was passed and accepted in its current state?
There are no cliff notes. There are no cliff notes. And, you know, I probably go in every morning between, anywhere between 5:30 and 6:30, and it's quiet, and I can read and answer emails, and I just start sitting down and reading portions of this. And now that I've got all the information that I needed, I was missing a little part in one of them for the first 6 weeks, and I just found this out last week, and that was rectified. But, and so I've got it's making a basic understanding. You know, I had the basic understanding, and then you ask questions about what are the results. And there's stuff in there that is good, that you're right. It's going to, you know, we've got to look out for the sand. We've got to look out for the fish. But there's other elements we need to take care of, you know, that help that, you know. So we've got to look at everything. And I firmly believe that if we look at this plan the way we're going to look at it now, find out what the costs are, find out why we've got it in there, what are the pluses and minuses, and see if it will actually work. You know, we don't want to put – do we need an extreme level of bureaucracy? Because a lot of this – if there are agencies already taking care of things, does Humboldt County really need to pick up the tab, you know, to follow up, to foot, you know, dovetail on somebody else when we already know California is probably one of the most overly regulated states in, you know
– Why are you hitching?
I mean, you already know the regulations are going to be tight. Do we need to jump on some of these when it's already being handled?
KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Rex Bohm.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Hagee Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Supervisor Bohm. Feel comfortable with that one yet?
I keep telling people to call me Rex. That's probably what I've been my whole life.
The three-piece suit thing, though, is a nice offset for you.
Yeah.
With the boots.
Well, I think the comment was made by somebody the other day is we're probably going to be wearing one of the leaders of our department heads was saying, I guess we're going to be in Levi's before we get you in a suit, Rex. And, you know,
I thought it was the pig's ear thing again.
Yeah.
A couple quick questions about the general plan. Does it allow for economic growth and vitality in Humboldt County to return?
That's what I want to make sure of.
Okay. Does it allow for the railroad, which at this point, the railroad and harbor development seem to be the two that I would suggest are the most likely to foster that growth. Does it allow for both of those two things to grow to historic levels?
I don't think we'll ever grow to historic levels. At 1969, we had 200, I think it was 69 or 68, we had 267 ships come into Humboldt Bay. 267 ships. We actually shipped 5%. That was 5% of the total goods out of the West Coast ports. Will we ever get to those levels again? No, of course not.
Container shipping can't do that.
I don't think container shipping is going to do it. I think there are other offsets. I mean, you know.
What about the water? You know, if a plan is in place to export water, would that be something?
You know, they fought that like heck 6 years ago, and I see a lot of the same people that were fighting like heck 6 or 8 years ago are saying, you know, we could probably do that. So
something about losing,
you know, well,
the water.
You lose that water if you don't use it. If you know, and the thing is, since the pulp mills have gone away, the 40-30 million gallons a day they were using are in excess now. I mean, it just goes into the ocean. Bags or in tankers. I mean, but bags, you know, the big thing was if a bag
breaks. Bag breaks, it's an environmental spill,
Stop the rains.
Yeah. So you don't see a ship a day being possible?
I don't see a ship a day being possible, but our harbor could support 2 a week, 3 a week, and actually be a very supportive. We had a couple times in the last few years where we actually had 3 in a week. I mean, it was an anomaly. It didn't happen continuously, but they were shipping logs. And I've got two of the local timber companies are cutting metric lumber now and shipping it in containers overseas to foreign countries, trying to make it work so we can do a finished product. I mean, all in all, that's what we would, that would be the best of both worlds, if we could ship a finished product out of here.
What about the train?
Train, it's getting pretty good support, the east-west rail. I don't think we'll ever do the north-south rail, because in the old days, they used to just, when they had a slide, they'd push it into the river and put new track, rip-rap down and put new track. Well, now you have to take out all the old debris, and just the double handling makes it cost ineffective. So I'm one of these guys, like I said it the other day, I want to be optimistic. We need to look at everything, and I keep using the comparison that everybody, a lot of the big people are investing in rail. Rail is coming back. As fuel goes higher and higher, rail becomes more sensible. The ports are busy. Would we be a big ship, you know, constant port, like you said? No. But, you know, we've had car people look, and they've gone to Washington. We've had a lot of people look if they could bring cars over here and unload them. The other thing is, we're getting a lot of cars shipped out of here now, back overseas. That American things. I see the other day, I know we get, China buys 25% of all luxury items made. That was the headline in the Wall Street Journal. 25%. So they're just clamoring for our products, and we obviously clamor for theirs, but
it'd be nice to be able at least to have the port fully functioning with rail and with
it would ship. It would be nice to offset some of this.
So that gives you a goal for the next 3-4 years. You know, make it happen. Oh, sorry, that wasn't one of your platforms.
Well, sensibility and jobs are, extreme things from both sides. You're exactly right. Maybe if everybody's yelling, we're pretty close.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.